Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Let's bring in James. James, I feel like I asked you this question the other day. Did I ask you if you thought the Lakers' start was sustainable?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, because I think this Lakers team is really good, and Austin Reeves is going to get a massive contract, and Luka, there's going to be some clever, like, white boy tag team nickname hitting the streets here, but Luka and Austin Reeves, the Rockers, right? They're legit, man.
Yeah, I don't know what is that duo going to be called.
Oh, they'll figure out some. What was the exciting whites? the wine, the total wine line, the exciting whites. I don't know, but that's a good basketball team that keeps winning. And you know, Laravia's playing well. Like, DeAndre Ayton, I think, is playing really well. LeBron James now 3 games in. He had 25 last night, and it's like, whew, that's a legit basketball team right there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised. I hadn't been watching to see that they're, like, second place in the Western Conference. I mean, it's kind of what's expected, right? You went out and traded for one of the top 5 players in the world, and you already had – like one of the previous top 5 players in the world still on your roster.
Yeah.
And then Austin Reeves, who is performing way better than, you know, I thought he would ever develop into. But at the same time, I can't stand watching that group. I mean, that's like team foul grifters. It's tough. It's a tough watch.
Shout out Coach Phil. Shout out Monterey Trails. Snowtime is hilarious.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
The Snowtime Lakers.
That's a good one. You throw Jake Laravia in there too. That's a good one right there. The Snowtime Lakers.
Is that's a good call. Funny.
I remember Jim Rome used to call John Stockton the pasty gangsta. So they could be the pasty gangstas. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, James, I got to call a spade, man, and give the Lakers a little more credit than maybe you gave them, because this wasn't expected, not by me. I didn't think they'd be the number 2 team in the West. I thought there were clearly 4 teams that were better than them, and they had issues, size issues that they had last year, even with getting DeAndre Ayton. Thought it was going to be a problem. LeBron started off with the sciatica. Luka got hurt. I don't know why,
but you saying he started out with the sciatica sounded so funny to me. I can't.
Next is he got the gout. LeBron got the gout.
He got that damn sciatica. Yeah,
the sciatica. Yeah, that funny start off.
And LeBron got that male pattern baldness, and you know,
that sciatica acted up again. KC in holiday mode. That's funny, man, as hell.
He had the sciatica. And they've exceeded my expectations. It wasn't expected from me that they'd be 13-4.
Yeah, I don't think I knew where exactly I would have put them. I mean, I think we did preseason, like, who's going to be where in the Western Conference. But, you know, like, look, some of it looks a little smoke and mirror-esque. A lot of it does, you know, some of it comes back to the fact that they're the Lakers. And, you know, coming into this season, they had already, like, what, the previous three seasons, they'd taken, like, 500 more free throws than their opponents. I mean, that's part of it. But, like, look, if they can hold it together, it's probably a pretty dangerous team. Ayton's, I've never been a huge fan, but if Ayton's, like, your fifth best player.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's cast properly here. In this setup with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Apparently it was just me. Because at 39.5 under over under, I was the only one that went under. Everybody else went over.
For the Lakers? Mm-hmm. The Lakers were 39.5?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think that was after the LeBron news came out. And that's why I was kind of like, ah, I don't know.
But he got that Tiger balm. He's rubbing all over the knees and he's ready to roll.
Okay, we need to get to the Kings. One more just quick overreaction since we're talking the Lakers, we're not talking Kings yet. This all started, Hammer, because I posed it as like an NFL segment, like overreaction, Luka Doncic will win his first MVP. That sent us into a conversation about the Los Angeles Lakers. How about the Detroit Pistons will win 60 games this season?
Oof.
Three teams did it last year. Two in the East, OKC in the West. Detroit's obvious. What are they, 15-2 right now?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Can they win? Is this a 60-win team this year?
I'm going to say yes, because I think, number one, this is a great draft, and there are a bunch of teams already looking at the draft and thinking, I wouldn't mind being in the top six of that draft class. And so I think a lot of those bad teams in the Eastern Conference are going to continue to be bad and even push it a little further. I think there are a lot of bad teams in the Western Conference. And I don't see why not. Like, you know, if you were going to put them for like 52, 53 wins, like, because they're pacing way ahead of that. But I mean, you look at the second half of the season and there's a good chance that teams are going to give up completely. Like they have in the last couple of years for, you know, Cooper Flagg or some of the other star young players.
Okay. All right.
I think they can do that. I think
it'll be close. Yeah. I mean, if they win 57, I wouldn't be like, I would still put it in the same realm as 60.
Sure. All right. Let's talk Kings basketball as they'll take on the Phoenix Suns tonight. It feels like there's a lot of things to watch, James, tonight, given the fact that the team has won two in a row, given DeMar's declaration that this is Keegan Murray's team, Keegan Murray with the game that he had. What do you have your reporter eyes on, locked on the most when that ball goes up in the air at 7:15 or so tonight?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same thing. Like, it's fine to say it in a post-game interview that it's Keegan's team, but like when push comes to shove, are they going to act that way for another 70, 60 plus games, whatever it is? Like, does this become Keegan's team? And I really do hope that it does, because like that, if you're a Kings fan and you want to pin your hopes to something, that could be it. But I need to see if he can average, you know, 22 a game for a sustained period of time or, you know, maybe he goes higher than that, but realistically, you know, 19, 20, 21, 22 points per game. I need to see if he's got that in his bag and if he can continue to grow as a player. And I think I've said this to you guys so many times, but the only way that that happens is if his teammates allow that to happen. Like with this specific team, I don't always feel that way. You know, players rise to the top or they don't. But with this specific team, just the way that it's built, you know, we were talking about the Suns earlier today, and they have three guys who are actually playing who are averaging 10 shots or more, and the Kings have like five or six. like there's just so many mouths to feed in Sacramento. And like, if they make a concerted effort to highlight him and to make him into help him become the player he's going to become, then I think that that would be the biggest win for this season, regardless of win loss total. Like, that would be the biggest victory for this franchise. And so I'm hoping we see that. I hope that that they put their money where their mouth is and show us that that's what the plan is.
See, Amron, we talked about this a little bit, you know, yesterday, I think during the handoff, but the only reason why I can't get, you know, behind that 100% is like, this is on Keegan. Like, people shot the other night. You know, people got shots up the other night. Lamar was at the high post or, you know, at the elbow doing his thing. He was the leading scorer, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Like, there was shots going around. I just see a different level of aggressiveness from Keegan. And that's what it is. It's not, I don't believe it's anybody letting him do anything. It's him taking advantage of the opportunities that are given to him. I know we've heard Malik, we've heard DeRozan last year, Sabonis, Fox when he was here. Everybody was imploring him to shoot the ball more. Nobody's not trying to give him the opportunities. He just wouldn't take them a lot of the times. And I get what you're saying with, you know, actually, you know, looking for him when he's hot and stuff like that. But I'd say 95% of this is on Keegan Murray being aggressive, because for the better part of his career, people around him have done nothing but empower him and encourage him to be more aggressive. And he just hasn't done it a lot of the times.
Yeah, I just completely disagree. I think last season, anyone who was saying that was nothing but lip service. You had so many people who wanted to shoot the ball. And that's it. I mean, it's tough to for a player who isn't a primary ball handler to go out there on the court and run to the corner every single time, because that's what your coach tells you to do, and then try to become a guy who shoots 15 to 16 times a game. Like, unless your team is working to get you open, it's just not going to happen. So, I think you and I are going to disagree about this forever. Like, he's talking about his mindset being different and everything else. In his second season, he averaged 15 a game. He was well on his way to being an 18 to 20 point per game scorer. And then in year three, he got completely derailed by a team that didn't care at all about developing him. And to be honest with you, didn't care anything about winning or anything else other than what they all had their own personal agendas about. And that's why last season fell apart. It was a team that wasn't a team. It was a team that had a whole bunch of personal, you know, issues, whether it was, you know, one guy wanting to start, two guys wanting the coach fired, maybe a third guy wanting the coach fired right after that, a player who said, I don't want to play for a different coach, so if you fire him, I want out of here. Like, that wasn't a team. It was a collection of players. It was just a better fit collection of players than what we're seeing right now. And so for him to take a step back, That was a structural issue with that team. It was a complete flaw to that team. And like, that's just my opinion. But I would like to see, you know, what it looks like. If you're a third year player coming in and you're competing for shots against De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan and, you know, like the group of players, again, Malik Monk, who was begging to start the entire season and finally got the start. As soon as Malik Monk started last year, which was what, game 10, it pushed Keegan Murray to the fifth option in the starting lineup. No other option below him in the starting lineup. So how is he supposed to get the type of shots and the number of shots that he needs to take a step? And, you know, again, we can talk about him being more aggressive and everything else. He was more aggressive. He was their best defensive player by a ton. He just wasn't aggressive on the offensive end because there weren't any opportunities on the offensive end.
He also missed shots. Like, he did,
but like, I think, so did everybody else.
But I'm saying that goes into the development and the number-wise or whatever, why they went down. Like, his shooting numbers dipped.
Shooting numbers dipped because he wasn't getting shots in rhythm. He wasn't getting enough shots. He was losing shots. So it's all part of, you know, the same exact thing. Like, it's either the chicken or the egg. You lost shots because you're not hitting them, or you're not getting shots because you're not hitting shots because you're not getting enough of them to get in a rhythm. But like I'm not ready to throw out things about Keegan Murray like he doesn't have the game to step up and go take people off the dribble, or he doesn't have the skill set. Like, we're watching it. We watched him in one game. He had the skill set. We're talking about a player who scored 47 in a game. Like, you don't wander into an NBA game and trip and score 47. And the fact is, last season was a broken team that was me, both on the court and off the court. And a player like Keegan Murray is always going to lose in that situation.
What if one of the me players was Domantas Sabonis? Like, is there a scenario where you could see that maybe Keegan Murray, and I'm talking specifically about Keegan Murray because that's kind of the focal point, at least at the start of this conversation together. What if Keegan finds a way to be more offensively effective with Domantas Sabonis out of the game?
Yeah, it's always possible. Like, it is. Like, I mean, sometimes, like, we saw two players that worked together really well for the first 2 years of Keegan's career. It's possible that Domas is a problem with Keegan. I don't know why that would be, because, again, Domas is another player who everybody wants to shoot more. You know, they want more field goal attempts from him. So he's a guy that often takes a back seat. I think one of the bigger problems that I see right now with this team is, you know, like the whole thing that we saw in Michael Scotto's article today, that people around Domas are saying that, you know, he's unhappy with his role on the offense and he's unhappy about the way that the team, after their 48-win season, didn't do enough to maintain the talent level. Like, I don't see any issues with any of that. Like, they should use Domas more. The fact that guy averaged 8 assists per game 2 years ago and over 6 last year, and he's at 3.8 this year, and your offense looks like hell and nobody passes a ball, and we're finally seeing that the team work a little bit more, function a little bit more, but you've had an offensive hub. And when this team plays well this season, a lot of times it was with Domas, with the ball running through Domas. I don't disagree with Domas. Like, as far as like what it is that he should be asked to do, I mean, the fact that his usage is way down, that he's averaging 3.8 assists per game, but also up until the last couple of games, you as a team are averaging like 23 assists per game and one of the worst assist teams in the league. It's because you had no offensive flow at all. So I would like to see some sort of offensive set here with this team, but I don't see a world in which it was Domas's fault that Keegan Murray wasn't succeeding. I just don't, because Domas is one of the most willing passers on this team. And, you know, he works to get people open. Like, if they're, you can have a lot of problems with Domas as a player, but it's not effort. And it's never been about being selfish. It's about him not blocking shots or him not shooting enough threes or things like that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or shots,
I think I think there is an element of selfishness to it when you worried about your usage rate and your the ball going through you, as opposed to, hey, you know, what do we need to do to win? Like the offense ain't even an issue. Why are we talking about offense? I know their offense is bad
offense
or whatever. I know their offense is bad, but for the last 3 years, we're talking about defense, right? We're talking about they don't match up and they can't defend. Does he complain about that? Does he complain about the defensive scheme or what goes on in that aspect?
He did. He said, we can't pick up 94 feet. I don't know. He said it all through camp. That's not the team that's built here. We can't pick up 94 feet. I don't understand that. He said that multiple times in camp. He said, that's not who our players are. So, no, I don't think that. Mm-hmm. And, hey,
let's read that a little differently. I mean, we read that a little differently. Like, we just read that differently.
How do you read it?
I read it like you complaining about working. Like, work. Like, I said the same thing when Zach LaVine said that, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Zach, how are you going to talk about, Rudy Gobert can't score 30 a game because he's not capable of it? Are you telling me?
Well, if he's playing the Lakers, he can. Last year's.
But when he made the comparison of, like, they don't ask Rudy Gobert to score 30 a game, that's because he can't do it. Are you telling me you can't play defense? You can't give an extra effort on defense? If that's what you're telling me, then cool. You're being honest with yourself or whatever. Like, cool, I get it. But this guy's asking you to pick up and use the same level of athleticism that you use to be this dynamic scorer to be beneficial to the team on the defensive end. Are you telling me that you can't do that? Same thing with Sabonis. You have no problem, you know, having all the energy in the world and being able to move and having the IQ and everything when things are on defense, but somebody asks you to play on offense, but somebody asks you to play defense a certain way, and now it's, I don't know why we're doing this. But we just see that differently. I see that as a cop-out. That's how I see that.
I'll tell you this. Never once have I watched Domantas Sabonis and thought he wasn't playing hard. Not once. I mean, the dude's led the league in rebounding the last 3 years. He is fighting and boxing out people all game long. Like, there isn't the problem that he doesn't block shots or that he's not a true rim protector. That's a huge issue. I get it. And that's why I've said it a million times. If you're going to have Domantas Sabonis, you better have somebody that can protect the rim.
I mean, interrupt you, but you talked about the first play of the game against the Hawks a couple of days ago. They just blew by him. That ain't nothing but rim protection. That is getting a stance, defend, block. I'm not like defend. It ain't got nothing to do with shot blocking at all. It's a damn effort. And you're supposed to be the leader. And you said yourself, and I agree with you, that set the tone for that entire game. And that's not just Sabonis.
He was 5 feet from the basket, and a dude was running downhill on him that was somebody else's man.
So you let him get an uncontested layup?
Or you foul him, and you pick up a foul, you know, 30 seconds into a game.
Or you defend.
Because how many times are you going to get to do that during that game? Like, he would have played 5 minutes. Like, I get it. I get it that you don't like watching Domantas Sabonis play basketball. I do.
No, I don't like to hear him complaining. That's what I don't like. I have no problem with him on the basketball court. All I've heard from him for the past 2 years is a bunch of whining and complaining, and you talk about me, 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 the ball not going through me, me, me. That's what I've heard for two seasons.
Yeah, and three seasons ago, they were the top offense in the history of the NBA with him being the hub of the offense. Right now, they're 28th in the NBA in offensive rating. They are god-awful offensively. And that has nothing to do with that. That's because they're not running the ball through one person.
Well,
it's,
I don't,
you know, I get the equal opportunity offense, but it, they've equal opportunity offense themselves off the face of the planet.
I'm just offering a thought. I'm not picking sides here when the family feuds. There's always a fight at Thanksgiving. It's no different here, but we talk about the offense 3 years ago. There's one Domantas Sabonis in the league, but the next year, everybody's offense looked exactly like Sacramento's did that year, except better. That was the Indiana Pacers year where it's like, yo, what is Rick Carlisle doing? Rick Carlisle just said, F it. I don't have the defensive players. Like, go, run. It's why I'm telling everybody, go watch the Chicago Bulls. It's hilarious. The Chicago Bulls look like the Kings, but like on steroids. They look like that Pacers team where they're just like, yeah, run, man. Like, just we are the only way we're going to beat somebody is we just run up and down the floor and score 140. And even at that, we might lose that game. And they have. But that, but Domas isn't the center of any of that. Like, he was the center here in Sacramento, and it worked. And I think a lot of things, Hammer, went wrong that second year. And perhaps the approach with Domantas Sabonis was one of them. Mike Brown's roster staying exactly the same, but his unwillingness to lay off what he wanted from this team defensively is probably another reason. Not saying that you can't ask your team to be better, just saying you've got to recognize what you have on your roster. I think Rick Carlisle did a brilliant job of recognizing it. They made some upgrades. That's why they ultimately went to the NBA Finals. Chicago has made that recognition. They're a middling team who are just like, man, we're just going to score. That's all we can do to survive right now. And Mike was unwilling to do that a second season. And so maybe there was an effect on Domas there with this commitment to Duarte and defense and Kevin Huerter falling off of a cliff and all of these different things. And it just feels like, and James, you say this all of the time, we could talk about DeMar and Zach. We could do all of that to death. The fact is we are in this position right now because that front office broke the playoff drought and said, okay, guys, we did it.
Yeah, and they refused to get better.
And that was it. Indiana did not refuse to get better. Mm-hmm. Their teams have continuously taken steps forward. Like, there's something that we have to do to get better. Denver was unwilling to just go, yeah, I think we've kind of done what we can with Jokic and Murray. And no, they were like, no, we died because of depth. We have to add depth to this roster. And now there's teams, there's fans that fear that basketball team again. Mm-hmm. Jokic is as great as he's always been, but that basketball team is better. Kings didn't do that. And that's why we're
no.
here.
No. In fact, they did the opposite of what you should have done. You know, like, the key to that offensive style, and realistically, it's the key to both Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox as players, is that you have to surround them with shooters. That's it. De'Aaron Fox is a hit and miss shooter. Say he's streaky. Some nights he's great. Some nights he's not. Domantas Sabonis, you know, you want him to shoot more from three. You want him to hit more. He hit a bunch more last year, but still 2 point whatever per game is not enough. You have to surround those guys with shooters. It's not brain surgery. Like, you should have been able to see that the whole time. That's how you build that team. And it's why the Kings suck right now. It's why they're not a very good basketball team. It's why they're 5-13, because they don't have anybody to space the floor. And that's just the facts. It's not, I mean, look at how they're 30th in the league in 3-point attempts per game. They can't space the floor because they don't have any shooters. And so, again, maximizing just about every player in the league is to put spacers around them. Like, the way that you maximize LeBron James, you get more shooters. The way you maximize Luka Doncic, that's exactly what the Dallas Mavericks did. They got him rim runners and they got him shooters everywhere on the floor. It's just modern basketball. Like, we're saying Domantas Sabonis, Domantas Sabonis, Domantas Sabonis. Any star level player has got to have shooters around him. And the Kings just absolutely left that alone and didn't go address the huge issue that they have. And now it's getting even worse because one of the few shooters that they do have, actually, it's getting much worse. Two of the shooters that they do have, one can't get on the court, and the other one looks like he slipped on a banana peel and forgot how to play basketball. And so now you got Malik Monk and you've got Keegan Murray to shoot threes because the other two guys either aren't playing or aren't playing in the fourth quarter because they look like they checked out in Zach LaVine. And so to me, like, again, the fundamental flaws of this team are so obvious to look at. You're like, okay, why is the ball not moving? Oh, well, because there's no spacing. It's like, why aren't you getting enough 3-point shots? Because we don't have 3-point shooters. Like, why is everyone diving all around, you know, DeMar DeRozan or Domantas Sabonis when they've got the ball in their hands? It's like, well, because most teams are running a zone against Kings because they don't have to worry about shooters. It's pretty basic.
It's unfortunate because a 6'8" power forward who can shoot and score was on the trading block and could have helped the Sacramento Kings at the time. But, you know, anyways.
There's been a few of those, over the course of time.
There's been a few, but hey, we don't want to pay that guy too much. We'll come back and we'll never mention Domantas Sabonis' name again. From now until the end of Thanksgiving, we're not mentioning Domantas Sabonis. But we are going to talk about Keegan Murray, we will talk about Keegan Murray. We're going to talk about Keon Ellis, though, because James said something yesterday with us that was immediately echoed by two other national insiders within hours. Mm. We'll explain what that is when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll put this Pistons-Celtics game on. I'm sure Kenny's happy after the outcome of the other game we were watching.
I never declared anything.
We all know where you stand when it comes to women's
college
basketball.
I don't like where Duke is at, though. I didn't know that was the record.
They're playing without Emily Skinner, who was by far their best offensive player and their best defensive player.
Damn.
And they look completely
lost
without her.
Like, on the precipice of coming back, or is
they're just waiting for the pain to go away and then she'll be back. And that's always tough, right? It's not like, oh, no, in 3 weeks. It's like, yeah, when you don't hurt anymore, you can come back and play basketball. James, you said something to us yesterday. I can't remember if it was it must have been on the handoff because yesterday was Tuesday because we were talking Keon Ellis and, you know, the mystery that has become Keon Ellis when it comes to his playing time, lack thereof, his involvement with the team, his potential future with Sacramento. And you used to, you're like, yeah, there are teams around the league that are confused with what's going on with Keon and his playing time. And about 2 hours later, Jake Fisher, unsolicited, said the same exact thing to us. There are teams around the league that are really confused about how Keon Ellis's year is playing out. And as everyone saw, Michael Scotto wrote the same thing for Hoops Hype. And so now it appears everybody is confused about what Keon Ellis's role is with this team, why he's not getting a ton of playing time. And like, not, no hyperbole, it seems to be a legitimate conversation around the league, at least with interested basketball teams.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it all off season. Like, when they decided to pick up his team option,
yeah,
there were teams around the league that were like, oh, are you kidding me? You just let him go. You just lost him. Like, what are you thinking? Like, so many people around the league, and like, is there something we're missing? Those are the calls that we get, the texts that I get, the calls that I get. Are we missing something with him? Because is he not a good teammate? Like, no, he's a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, teams around the league absolutely like love Keon Ellis. I mean, ESPN in their free agency ranking for this offseason that we just got out of, he was number six. He was number six on their list of free agents. Not number six amongst shooting guards. I mean, number six overall. And so, yeah, teams around the league are like, what in the hell is going on there? And to be honest with you, I don't have an answer for you, because on a team that's bad at defense and bad at shooting three-point shots, you have a kid who's really good at defense and really good at shooting three-point shots. Now, again, is he an all-NBA defender? I have not said that. You know, but it's not me who compared him to Bruce Bowen. It was Mike Brown that compared him to Bruce Bowen. It was Mike Brown, who has been an NBA head coach for, I don't know what, 15 years, and an NBA assistant coach or head coach for the last 30, who worked with Bruce Bowen in San Antonio. So I think a lot of people around the league are just like, okay, whatever, this is the Kings being the Kings. And we're totally fine with that, because when he's a free agent this summer, we're all going to go after Keon Ellis. And the other thing that I will keep bringing up, like, the trade deadline is February 6th. Keon Ellis can't be signed to a contract extension until February 9th, which means that if you're trading for Keon Ellis, you do not know if you're going to be able to re-sign him to a contract. And that means his value on the open market, we heard, oh, there's a possibility he might be worth a first-round pick. It's like, maybe, but why would Keon Ellis say yes to anything? Why would he not just walk into the offseason and see what he can get on the open market? Because I can tell you, like, not only do I know that teams want him, I know that teams were looking at him with the full mid-level exception. So we're talking a four-year, $60 million deal or something like that at this point. And so it's baffling. And sometimes this happens when you switch front offices and management. Keon isn't someone that they drafted, where the group before, clearly, you know, it was sort of a feather in their cap that they found a kid like this as an undrafted free agent. But they don't value him clearly the way that other teams around the league and even someone like myself who watches a team value him. Because if they did, he would be playing a lot more. And I get the numbers crunch and everything else, but, you know, players who are good and fill the need that you're asking for and begging for, they probably should be on the court, and he's not. So, I mean, what, 5 minutes the last two games, including a DMP? Stuff.
promise you, I'm not trying to be argumentative or anything like that, because I agree with Hammer and I love Keon too. But there is an aspect of like hearing all this and hearing national writers and other executives talk about Keon, where if I was Scott Perry, I'd be like, all right, how much do you love him then? How much do you love? You love him so damn much. We're stupid for not playing. How much? Is he worth the first rounder? I know money and contracts and all this other stuff, but everybody talking about how crazy it is. How crazy is it? Show me.
Well,
you don't even have to give up anything, just so you know. Like, you can give up a pick, but you don't even have to trade a player for Keon.
There we go. You could have him for
because he's a league rounder. He's a league minimum player. So you can accept a league minimum player into your salary, even if you're up against a cap. Any team could trade for him. Yes. Or what do they have to do? Throw in a guy that they drafted in the second round last year to make the money work. Something like that. But go ahead.
Part of me is, yeah, show me how much you love him. Show me how crazy we are.
Well, I don't know that anyone has referred to Sacramento as crazy or stupid. I don't think that's the same thing as asking questions
like that. I'm saying executives haven't said that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but I would say, yeah, asking questions.
What's going on with the defender who hits threes for you? How come he's not playing? Like I'd ask that question too, whether I wanted the player on my team or not. Mm-hmm.
I also think a lot of teams around the league are going to be like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Because the other answer is they'll just wait until the offseason and sign him without giving you anything.
Yeah,
because unrestricted.
So the flip side to that is, you said a few minutes ago, which you are correct with the February 6th trade deadline and the February 9th ability to sign the contract extension, you don't know if he can sign there, or you don't know when you make that deal if he's going to sign. Yeah, you do. Pascal Siakam isn't a Sacramento King because he knew the Sacramento Kings were not going to sign him for what he wanted. Mm-hmm. He became an Indiana Pacer, and the Indiana Pacers willingly gave up that haul to acquire Pascal Siakam because they knew, even without the contract, that Siakam knew exactly what Indiana was going to offer him, and he was willing to go along with that. Of course he would. It was a max contract. So you can't sign it that firm, all right, we're locked in for years, isn't there. But we all know that the agreement of, hey, we'll make this deal, like, we want you to be a part of our future, here's what we're willing to offer. Great. You know, we can't talk about that, can't sign anything, but you give me that, I'll give you this, we're off and running.
And real quick, Hammer, and with that, because I understand, like, why give up anything when he's going to be a free agent? Because you'll have him. If there's that many teams that are interested in him, you'll have him in the building. Mm-hmm. You almost get a early start on the recruiting process and all this other stuff, as opposed to just waiting on July 3rd or whatever, when everybody can come talk to him. Like, if it costs, not, I don't know, Denver, like, if they have a first round pick from the Knicks or something, if it costs me that and, like, not my own, yeah, to get Keon Ellis and get an early start on the recruitment and getting him in the building for free agency, I don't think that's the – if you love him that damn much, I don't think that's a crazy price to pay.
Yeah, but you're also Keon Ellis, who gets to choose where you go play. I mean, that's it. So even if you do go to a team, if a team does give up something to get you, like, what if it's Charlotte? What if it's Denver and you don't want to live in Colorado? Like, what if you get to free agency and the Miami Heat are calling, or the New York Knicks, or the Golden State Warriors, or a team that the Lakers, who I continue to hear are a team that's interested in Keon. Mm-hmm. Like, what if it's one of those teams? And so it doesn't matter if you're, you know, again, a team that he just gets to and is like, yeah, I don't really want to play for the Utah Jazz. I don't really want to play for the Portland Trailblazers long term. Like, you can go ahead and trade for me, but I'm going to make my decision in the offseason. And that's where, you know, again, like, to make a trade work, they can get something done. But at the end of the day, like, Keon's going to have the choice where he wants to play.
He is, and it will be certainly one of the more interesting stories to follow over the course of the next, I guess, couple of months, you know, whether Keon is a King following the trade deadline, whether the Kings offer him any sort of contract extension. What does his playing time look like as the days and weeks progress. L. James, what does his playing time look like tonight when you have a guard like Devin Booker on the other end, and you could probably use a guy like Keon Ellis out there?
Yeah, I mean, tonight, Keon should be playing a ton. Whether he steps on the floor or not, right? It doesn't matter. I'm like, Devin Booker is, you know, he's a good sized guard, but he's not heavy. Like, this is the type of guy that Keon can totally chase and make life difficult for. And especially with them missing Grayson Allen and Jalen Green, and they have one other scorer that's out, right? Yeah, like, this is a game where you probably could use Keon Ellis. But either way, you're 30th in the league in three point shots per game. And you need more threes, and you're still not playing him. So I don't know that it really matters.
I'm glad you said that. That's actually something Keegan said on Monday night that has kind of gone on. I don't want to say it didn't go under our radar. It went under our radar. We didn't spend a lot of time discussing it. Keegan was like, yeah, we don't shoot enough threes. Like, we've got to make sure when those shots are available for us, we get them up. And when they're not available for us, we work to get them up. But he pointed that out in the press conference, like, we are not shooting enough threes in these games.
No.
And I'm sure it hits a little bit different when Keegan Murray says it versus when James Hamm says it.
Yeah. I mean, what are they averaging? 31 threes a game? Like, this is a modern NBA, man. You're falling behind every single possession. It's really difficult to keep up when you're scoring two and they're scoring three almost every time down. So
I think the player you were looking for was Grayson Allen. I don't know.
I was about to say, is Grayson back?
Grayson, no, he's out tonight.
I said Grayson.
Did you?
It was Grayson Allen.
And Jalen Green.
Jalen Green, and they have one more that's out.
Well, Ryan Dunn.
Ryan Dunn.
Yeah, I don't know how big of an impact, but they're all listed
as
out.
He busted the Kings up a couple of times.
Problem in game one. Ryan Dunn went crazy on them boys.
But he's
busted them up a couple of times. Yeah.
He might be the guy who works the Kings, and you go, hey, whatever happened to that guy? Nah, he was
just really good.
He averaged 4 points the rest of the season.
The Jason Smith of this era.
I was going to say, that's happened a lot of times in James Hamm's career covering this team.
That's right.
James, got to ask the question, because I'm going to stay with the courage of my convictions and say, no, I'm not there yet. There's nothing they can do that can get me to feel any differently. But let's just say, for instance, I'm not going to say all three, because that might be a tall task. But when we come back on Monday and the Kings have played the Suns, Jazz, and Grizzlies, and let's say they won two of those three games, do you believe, combined with the two games that they won previously, do you think that, would you be getting the sense that the team is trying to tell me something? Tell me that, hey, we're not dead yet. Don't sprinkle dirt on us. Yes, we found something that we can rely on. Or is it just a product of the NBA? They won, that would be four or five, I think, in that situation.
I think as much as anything, it would be a product of the schedule. You know, just like, I think that the problem, like, the schedule itself was extremely difficult the first 18 games of the season. But also, when you don't play well, the schedule can be suffocating. Like, you can't get off the mat. They just keep hitting you every single time you get knocked down. And I think that's it. Like, if you get a good win, right, in Denver, you back that up with even, you know, probably a better win with Minnesota, where, you know, they weren't on the second night of a back-to-back. It took overtime, and you just kept fighting, and you kept showing this grit that you didn't have. I think you found the grit the game before, and then when you got to the Minnesota game, you realized, hey, we're still in this. We can keep fighting. And now, all of a sudden, you know, the schedule lightens up. This is where you got to prove that you learned, you know, that you can get up off the mat and you can keep battling. Because right now, I mean, there's nothing stopping the Kings right now from rattling off another four in a row against subpar teams and being on a six game win streak that makes that eight game losing streak look like a thing of the past. Now, whether they'll do that or not, I have no idea, because I don't know what to expect from this team one night to the next. But I do feel like the schedule played a role in what happened, and just like the inability to breathe, the inability to ever feel like you've got a shot walking into a game, because you got five other games right behind you that just showed you that you aren't very good right now. And it can be, you know, sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy when you, you start getting down on yourself and down on the way that the season's going.
Yeah, I think there is something to that, given the fact that so many games during that losing streak slipped away from them so quickly. Yeah. And it just it oftentimes felt like it became a throw your hands up game and all right, let's just get through this and, you know, start thinking about the next one. And, you know, you lose that one by 27, 30 points, whatever it is. And then you go into the next game and the same thing happened. It just kept happening over and over and over and over again. Blowouts happen in the NBA. Like they do. The best teams in the league, the exception maybe of Oklahoma City, like they're going to get, like Cleveland's going to lose by 30. Detroit's going to lose a game by 30. They're going to lose by 20. They're going to lose a couple of games, you know, by that amount of points. The Kings have a season's worth of bad losses in a 14-day stretch. Like, if you told the story of the losses and you go, oh, yeah, that happens through the course of a season, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But when you tell them, no, that happened over a two-week span, then it becomes like, what the hell was wrong with you?
Right. Right.
It's a completely different story. And hopefully you're right. Hopefully it does have something to do with the schedule. Because one thing Casey and I noted is the last two wins have been terrific, Hammer, but the last two games have looked like the first couple of weeks of the season where they were playing tough teams and they just couldn't fight. Denver being one of them, Minnesota being one of them, Oklahoma City being one of them, they just couldn't find ways to get wins in those games. But in these last two, they found a way to close out. That third quarter run happens against Denver. Sacramento's like, not yet. And they find a way to eliminate that entirely before the fourth quarter starts. You have a 10-point deficit going into the end of regulation against Minnesota. And they find a way to close that out. These are all things they were not able to do at the beginning of the season that they were able to do here. And it's like, all right, that's cool. How can you build upon that and like you said, Hammer, truly put that two-week stretch behind you?
Yeah, and like, look, if they're able to, like, again, string together, you know, three out of four or win all four here right now, and then you're able to play 500 ball until after the All-Star break, just 500 ball, you got a shot because the final 25 games of the season is so much easier. And, you know, we can keep talking about strength of schedule. The Kings' strength of schedule is most difficult in the NBA in the first 18 games. After that, it's the easiest schedule in the NBA. So, again, you get through this stretch, you get back to maybe let's say they get back to 8 or 9 and 13 or 8 and 14. You know, if you're 9 and 13 and you just play 500 ball for a couple of weeks leading up to the trade deadline, then you legitimately have a shot in the second half to just totally turn your season around and maybe get back to 500, maybe get a game or two over 500. Mm-hmm. So it's still there. I think that there will be changes that change like sort of the trajectory of this team at some point and, you know, kind of take that step back to take a step forward in the future.
Yeah.
James, you were supposed to leave like 10 minutes ago, man. I'm so sorry. James,
8 minutes.
I always forget.
James won't be covering the first quarter, ladies and gentlemen.
Go put the quarter zip on and get out to the arena. Thanks, Hammer. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
All right, man.
Hey, you too.
It's our man, James Ham, right there. I got to get out at 45. Like, an idiot. Sorry, Hammer. Sports Talk on ESPN 1320 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Shout out to everybody on the road right now, man. Be safe wherever you're going. Be careful. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. Of course, we'll be back with you on Monday, as Kenny noted. Three games ahead for the Sacramento Kings beginning tonight. What will this all look like when we return here on Monday? We'll find out.
We will find out. Happy Thanksgiving, big dog.
You too, brother. You too, happy Thanksgiving, Jesse. Happy Thanksgiving to the Chatty House and to everybody listening who has never once sent a message or watched the video stream. We appreciate you just the same. Again, be safe, and we'll be back with you Monday morning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader. ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Kings, light the beam. Sorry, Colston.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.